Good to see you all here this morning. Hope everybody had a good week last week, and we look forward to worshiping God in spirit and in truth today. I have a few announcements just to mention before we have our prayer this morning. Again, let's just continue to remember all those of our loved ones that aren't able to be with us today. We're thankful that they can join us here live on Facebook or at their convenience later, but we're mindful of those who aren't able to get out for various reasons. We are mindful of you, and we'll look forward to seeing you again hopefully real soon. I had a few requests for prayers for this week. Pam was talking to Jennifer yesterday. They have a lot of concerns in their family with health issues or people being in positions at their work that they're exposed to a lot of potential health hazards, as you can imagine. So Pam was just requesting prayers for her family just to get through these times, these uncertain times right now. So we'll pray for Pam's family. Also, let's keep Diane in our prayers. Diane has a lot of health issues she's dealing with right now, and she just needs our prayers. So you can talk to her a little bit later after services, but we'll keep Diane in our prayers that she can overcome these health concerns that she has. Jennifer's sister, Alicia, down where they go to services, they have a really close friend of the family. His name is Kevin, and he was in a car wreck here a few days ago, and he was actually killed in that wreck. He was a really close friend of the family, and, of course, at the congregation down there in Georgia. So this is a pretty, very tragic thing that he passed away in this car accident. So we're going to keep Kevin and his family and all their loved ones in our prayers as well this morning. We have some travelers away with us from us today, so we'll keep them in our prayers. And also, as always, keep in mind the answer prayers that we see, I think, each and every day. That's why we go to God in prayer. We look to him for strength, and we ask for his petition and his guidance and strength to get through these times. So let's be thankful also for all the answered prayers that we have seen throughout all this time. But again, it's good to see you all here this morning. If you would, take this time, and we're going to bow and go to God in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the day that you blessed us with. We're thankful that we can be here this morning to be able to come together and be an encouragement and in strength with one another as we come to you to worship you in spirit and in truth, dear Lord. Again, we're thankful that we can do this, and we're thankful for the opportunity and the blessing that this is. We're mindful of our loved ones that aren't able to be with us this morning for various reasons, whether it's spiritual or physical illness, dear Lord. Please be with them and give them strength to overcome the situations that they're in. And we look forward to seeing them again very soon, dear Lord. Specifically this morning, dear Lord, we pray for Sister Pam's family as they have many members in their family that are exposed to many difficult situations at their job. Please be with them and give them strength, give them safety, give them good health, please, dear Lord. And give Pam the strength to be able to help those in her family as much as she can, dear Lord. But please give her and her family strength to get through these times. We also please ask that you be with our sister Diane, as she has many health concerns, dear Lord. As she looks to go to the doctor and get advice and to get hopefully a good handle on those things and to be able to be healed from these things, dear Lord. But please be with her and give her strength, and please be with the doctors to be able to help her as well, dear Lord. Please be with the family of Kevin that passed away in the accident down in Georgia, dear Lord. This is a tragic thing. Anybody passes away, but especially someone that's young. This is an awful thing, and he has a lot of family and loved ones that are grieving at this time. Please be with them and give them strength and comfort to get through this time, dear Lord. Please always be with all of us and help us to be safe and those around us to be safe, that there are so many dangers that we face each and every day. Please Give us the safety that we know that you can, dear Lord, to get through each and every day. And please be with our travelers that are away from us today. Give them safe travels so that they may be safe and get home safe, dear Lord. And we're also thankful for all the answered prayers that you give us, dear Lord. We're so thankful for this avenue that we have to be able to come to you in prayer, to be able to talk to you as our Father, and the guidance that you can give us and the strength that we get from that. We're so thankful for that, and we're thankful for the answered prayers from you, dear Lord. As we enter in this time of worship, help us to focus our minds and our thoughts on what we're singing and what we're studying today, dear Lord. Help us to worship you with all of our being. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so since Brother Bobby tipped me off last week that we're going to be, he's going to be speaking about running life's race. So many of my songs today kind of lead into that. So most of you that know me well, I do like to run. I like running races. This has been a challenging year for many reasons, but one is there have been no races. And so it's been really weird. My last one was way back in March. So I'm hoping here soon to get to run one, but it's one of my favorite things to do. There's a lot of things that go into running a race. It's not just going out there and just running it. If you do that, you run a risk of a lot of things not going right. So there's a lot of preparation, a lot of things that you try to do to be able to run a race effectively and to be able to obtain that goal that you're trying to obtain at the end. So that's going to be kind of my theme going through my songs here this morning. In Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, it starts off, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." We are to run with endurance the race that is set before us. And make no mistake, that race is set before all of us. I know not too many people choose to run actual physical races. Some people think I'm silly and crazy for doing that, but it's something I like to do. But we are all here to run life's race. So we need to prepare and do everything that we can so that at the end of our time here, we can have that, again, that reward, that crown of life that is waiting for us there at the end of the race. So the first song we're going to be singing this morning is the song Higher Ground. In Philippians 3:14, it's actually the heading of the song, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus." We are all trying to press forward, press on in our life to get to that. It shows our dedication to the goal. You know, again, when I get ready to run a race, I'm doing a lot of training to get ready for that race. It's a dedication. I spend a lot of time doing that. And we need to spend time dedicating ourselves to getting to that crown of life, that reward, that mark of the prize that we are trying to strive for in our life. So we're pressing on as the song starts, the upward way. So we're trying everything that we can do to work and to dedicate our life to the goal so that we can spend eternity with God in heaven. So we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth verse, and then the chorus once at the end of the song Higher Ground. Let's sing. "I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on hand.
table head, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. Our next song is going to be out of our blue book, if you're using a book, will be the song Living Water, Bread of Life. And when we think about trying to strive to run a race physically, we're looking to do all the proper training that we need to do a lot of reading and see maybe what you should be eating, what you should be doing to help train and have proper physical training and have the proper nutrition leading up to that kind of race. You don't want to run a race and not have your body fueled to be able to do that. And to think about our spiritual race, we need to do the same thing. We need to have the proper nutrition and training to be able to run this spiritual race that we're all running. So when we think about the song Living Water, Bread of Life, those are two things right there. The Word of God, that bread of life that we need to be feeding on, to be able to have the strength that we need to be able to run the race that is set before us. So we're going to be singing all three verses of Living Water, Bread of Life. Let's sing.
God sends springs into the valleys, flowing softly through the hills. God sends streams down from the mountains, leaping over rocks and rills. He fills rivers, he fills oceans. Oh, what bounty overflows! But his gift of living water quenches thirst within my soul. God makes seed, we plant for harvest, grows a seedling in the field, ripens grain for us to gather, for the good bread it will yield. He made man ascend from heaven, oh, what bounty he bestows. Yet the bread of life he gives me feeds the hunger of my soul. God provides in great abundance of his bounty he has said. I'll see the saints forsaken, or the righteous begging bread. Father, keep it still before me, greatest bounty you bestow is the Christ, the living water, bread of life to fill my soul.
Amen. In 1 Corinthians 9, we read that we are to run in a way to obtain the victory. And again, when I'm looking to run a race, I might be looking to win, but I want to do the best I can to reach that goal, whether it's, do the best I can in my age bracket or to run as fast as I can or whatever it is. You have a goal that's set before you. And again, our goal is to obtain that crown of life that's waiting for us, to have that victory that we're trying all to achieve. So before Brother Bobby's lesson here this morning, we're going to sing the song, Victory in Jesus. Jesus has given us everything that we need to succeed and to win that race. So again, we need to look to him to have that strength, to be able to press on, and to have all the instruction that we need, the fuel that we need through his living water and bread of life to be able to attain this victory. So we're going to be singing the first and the third verse of Victory in Jesus, and Brother Bobby will bring us his lesson.
Sing. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Turn to service order, Brother Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day we have today that the Lord has given us, in which we can come and worship him and serve him. The temperature is about right. The sun is shining outside. What else could we ask? Beautiful, beautiful day. Of course, some people in other parts of the country is not seeing that kind of day from the hurricane and so forth. There's rain and storms and things of that nature. But here we have a beautiful day, and we ought to be thankful that God has given us such a day that we can worship him. As Tim has already mentioned, I had said last week was going to talk about running life's race. Well, I'll give you a little hint for next week. We're going to be talking about one that will follow up to this, and it'll be based on the Olympics and going for the gold medal. So next week is talking about going for the gold. So it'll be kind of in connection with this. And I appreciate all that Tim said this morning about the race and getting ready for the race and all this kind of thing, and that'll be a part of what we'll be talking about here in just a little bit. You know, as you begin to study the Bible, our life is compared to a lot of different things. Sometimes it's compared to a battle, like a war, and how that we must prepare and keep ourselves faithful to the commander and all this kind of thing. Sometimes it's compared to a journey. We go a journey into a far country or whatever. Sometimes it may be compared to a farmer going out into the field and sowing seed. Sometime it might be compared to a fisherman who goes out and casts the net into the sea and brings all kind of fish in. But today we're talking about our life being compared to a race. The Bible compares life, as was said, to many different things, but in this lesson today especially, we want to compare it to running a race and the importance of running that race. Now I'm going to give you a little bit of an illustration right on the start to kind of set the pace. Suppose a man had a racetrack that he had built at his house, and it was nice enough that many people, the schools and different things, would use that track to run their races on. Well, this day especially, the boys were gathered together for a track meet there for a race, and they were getting ready for the race. Now, to run in that race, then they must meet certain requirements that were set forth, and we understand that to be the case. If you're going to run in a race, then you're going to have to meet certain requirements to run in that race. And the race must be run on a certain track or at a certain place that they have specified that is to be the place where the race is to be run. Well, in this particular case, they line up for the race, and one boy doesn't enter the racetrack where he's supposed to run, but he lines up outside of the track and runs the race on the outside of the track. Now, even though he might come in first place, do you think he would receive the prize? No. Why? Because he did not run in the place that was specified for him to run. And so this will be a part of our lesson today. Now, I have about 10 points that I want to make today concerning the running of the race. And I have a couple of passages I want to read to start with in the very beginning of our lesson. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and at verse 24 of this chapter, we're going to read down through the rest of the chapter there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24, and incidentally, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things, that they do it to receive a perishable crown or a perishable wreath," this says, "but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Now, that's what Tim was talking about a while ago, that you condition yourself for the race. You make sure that you're doing everything just right. I had a nephew back years ago who ran quite a bit. And one thing he did before the race, Tim was talking about the nutrition that you need. One thing he did, he would eat a box of raisins before he ran his race. That gave him the energy that he needed. Well, I have a grandson who runs cross country and things of this nature. And he is very careful as to what he eats and how he maintains his body and things of this nature. They were up here back a year or so ago for Thanksgiving, and he'd get up in the morning before breakfast, and he'd go out and run like 6 miles before breakfast and come back. And then whenever we'd go out to eat somewhere, instead of his ordering like we did and order certain things that he liked, he would order what was good for him, that it would keep his body in the way that it ought to be kept, to where he could run the race that he was supposed to run. Now, another passage I want to read is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is acceptable and perfect." And so this is the dedication that we must have if we're going to run the race that we're talking about. Now let's get into the main part of our lesson today. Point number one that I want to make, all are invited to run in life's race. Now we said a while ago there are certain qualifications that we must meet, and then the races that run, if it's a marathon or something like that, then you may have to be qualified in certain areas. Maybe you've run before, you're experienced in this, and different things that you may have to meet. Tim knows more about that than I do. But I know that in the life race that we're talking about, everybody is invited to run in this race. Now, in Huntsville, Alabama, they have a race every year that's called the Cotton Row Run. And I forget how far it is, 6K, something like that maybe. But anyway, there's a lady there who works at the TV station, a newscaster. And she had breast cancer back a few years ago and survived that. And so she's the one that started this run, and it's for the purpose of raising money and awareness of cancer and the research for cancer, and especially for breast cancer. And in this race, everybody is invited. They announce it on the TV for weeks, and when they start out, there'll be hundreds of people to run this race. Some of them be older folks, and some be younger folks. Some will be children. There'll be some that are on walkers. There'll be some that are in wheelchairs. But everybody runs for a purpose. So in this, all are invited. Well, the life's race that we're talking about, everybody's invited to run this race. So it doesn't matter whether you're old or whether you're young, whether you're fat or whether you're skinny, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're strong or whether you're weak, you're invited to run in this race. Now listen in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, what did he say here? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Go, invite all people to run in this race. Make runners of all people all over the whole world. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, he said, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." What did he say? Go proclaim the gospel to the whole world, to the whole creation. The King James Version would say every creature. And so here is everybody is invited to run in this race. Now, if you have some doubt about that, then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So not only does he send his disciples into all the world, but Jesus himself says, "Come unto me." Come and run in this race that we're talking about. The race is very important, and the way we run that race will determine as to where we will be in eternity. And that's one thing we'll talk about as we'll go along further. Now, if you want to turn to another passage over in the book of Revelation, in chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, we'll read a couple verses there. Revelation chapter 22, verses 17 and 18. He says, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is athirst come, and let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues that are described in this book." And he goes on to say, if we take away from the prophecy of this book, that our part will be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. So it's very important then that we run in this race and that we run the way that we should. And we'll be talking about that as we get on into our lesson this morning. Point number two, not only are we to enter into this race, but we're actually to run the race. Well, not only are we invited to the race, first of all, but we actually have to enter that race. Now, I wanted to make a point from there because God does not force us to run in that race. We are free moral agents, and we have the ability to choose, and God gave us the choice as to whether we would run in that race or whether we would not. Tim was talking about enjoying running in the race. Nobody's forcing him to run in the race. He runs in the race because he wants to run in the race. He volunteers to run in that race, and that's the way it is with life's race. We must actually enter that race. It's not enough just to hear about the race. You know, we hear about the gospel and we read from the Bible and we hear how that we must run the race in the way that God would have us to. And it's not enough just to hear about that, but we must actually enter into the race. Conditions must be met to enter that race. Now, like we said, there's certain rules and regulations in all the races that we run. Well, in life's race that we're talking about, there are conditions there as well. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, when Jesus was on the mountain with Peter, James, and John and was transfigured before them, and the bright cloud overshadowed them, and out of that cloud there was a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the apostles arose from the ground, they saw no one except Jesus, and they knew that this was the one that was talking about. Now Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, then you, where I am, there you cannot go." And we have faith by hearing the gospel of Christ. And then, of course, not only are we to hear about this, but we're to believe. We're to have the faith in Jesus Christ as God's Son and in God himself. In Luke chapter, well, in Mark, Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." And so we must hear and we believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. You remember in Acts chapter 8 when Philip was talking to the Ethiopian and he said, "If you believe that you may be baptized," and he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." This is the confession that we're talking about. Jesus said, "If we confess him before men, he will confess us before the Father." So we must believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son to the point that we will confess his name, as we'll talk about in a minute. Our sins that we're guilty of, and the Bible shows that all of us sin and come short of the glory of God, and we must repent of those sins. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, he said, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, on the day of Pentecost, when those people were convicted in their hearts because they had crucified the Lord, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." So we must hear the word of God. We must hear what Jesus says. We must believe it. We must repent of our sins. And we must confess our faith in him as the Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And so then we're to be baptized, Acts 2 and verse 38, as it said there in that passage when the people asked Peter and the rest of the apostles what they must do once they found out that they were convicted for crucifying or guilty of crucifying the Son of God. He told them to repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ. So here are the rules. Here's the things that we must do in order to actually enter that race. We must lay aside some things also, and that's one thing. Could you imagine Tim going out to run a marathon in a heavy pair of work boots? No. He tries to get the lightest shoes he can get and the lightest clothes that doesn't resist the wind to where it doesn't hold him back. So in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, he says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." And so we lay aside the old self. We lay aside sin. As a matter of fact, it says, "Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us." And I think that's when a runner realizes that he puts aside everything that would hinder him, would hold him back from running. So not only are we to hear about the race and actually enter into the race, but we've got to run the race once we enter in. We can't just meet the qualifications and then not run the race. Some just start out in the race and they get discouraged and they just sit down on the track. Well, that's not going to do any good because they're going to be disqualified when they do that. It just hurts themselves and hinders others when they sit down. But now in life's race, there are many times when people start out running that race, and somewhere down the way, a little ways, they get discouraged and they just sit down in the middle of the track. Well, it hinders them, it hurts them, and it hinders other people as well. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 30, Philip ran to Jesus. Now, let me ask the question, how many times do we run to do the Lord's work? Well, David ran. You remember when he was facing the giant Goliath back in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, and when the giant came out and started toward David, and David ran toward him, took one of the smooth stones out of his shepherd bag and put it in the sling and slung it, and it went deep into the forehead of the giant, and he fell forward, and David went and took the giant's sword and slew him. Well, he ran to do the Lord's work. Now, how many times do we run to do the Lord's work? Or how many times do we kind of hesitate and hope somebody else will do it before we get to that or before we have to do it ourselves, instead of doing what God would have us to do? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And so when we run, if we're running in the Lord, our labor is not in vain. Now, in this running the race, there must be zeal involved as well. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous of good works. We must have the zeal that it takes to do what God has commanded us to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2, he says, "For I know your readiness, of which I boasted about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them." Now, our zeal that we have may cause someone else to be a little more zealous for the Lord. My example of serving God in the right way might cause somebody else to want to serve God in that way. And that's a part of the running of life's race. Now, point number four, we must run on the inside of the proper enclosure. Now, like we talked about a while ago, you remember we talked about the boy that ran outside the track instead of running where he was supposed to, and he would not receive the crown because he didn't do it in the right way. The only place that we can run life's race and expect to receive the prize is in the church of our Lord. When we are obedient to him, that puts us within the enclosure where we need to be to run the race of life. Acts 20 and verse 28, he says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock, in which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." Now, this is where Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders and instructing them as to what they were to do. But here, Jesus Christ bought the church with his own blood. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think God would send his only son into the world for us, and that his only son would come into the world and give his life on the cross to purchase the church, and then God would turn around and give us the prize for being outside of this church? I don't think so. I think he shows that we must be within that church in order to receive the prize at the end of the way. So we must run in the proper enclosure. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, it said, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." So God adds us when we do what he tells us to do. We become a child of his, then he adds us to that number of running that race. And we are registered within that book of life, and it's very important that we are there, that our names are in that book, that we're added to that group that we're talking about there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Point number five, we must run with patience. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." So we must run with patience. Now, I'll say this, and I think Tim would agree with me, and John and others who do running. It's not always the fastest runner or the swiftest runner who wins the race. Sometimes it's the one who endures the longest, the one who has patience to keep on going when they're tired and so forth. And so this is the one that a lot of times wins the race instead of the swiftest runner. We're living in an impatient world. I think we can see that every day. We can see impatience. So we must learn to persevere. We must learn to be patient. We must learn to go on whenever we get tired. We can't quit. We must keep on going and keep on working for the Lord. We must run with our eyes on the goal. If we ever forget and take our eyes off the goal, then we're not going to win the race. You remember when the Lord came to his disciples walking on the water, and Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you walking on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And so he came down out of the boat and started walking on the water. And as long as he had his eyes upon Jesus and faith in him, he walked on the water. But when he turned his eyes aside and was attracted by or distracted by the waves of the sea and the wind blowing and so forth, he began to sink and cried out to Jesus to save him. We must look to Jesus for our example and also for the strength that we need to run that race of life. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. So Jesus is the one that we're to follow. He is the goal that we're to keep our eyes on, our mind on, to cause us to survive whenever we really don't feel like it, whenever we're really tired and think about quitting, then we're not to quit. We must abide by the rules. Whatever rules are set, we must abide by them. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, he makes it real plain. He says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So we have to do according to the rules. Now, the American Standard Version would say, and also, if one converses or competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Now, that's pretty plain, isn't it? And I think we all understand that. It is the idea also, by the words that's used in some of the other versions, when it talks about striving lawfully. That means doing the things by the rule. Some act as if there is no rules. You know, some people think, well, we can do just whatever we want to do. It's going to please God. Whatever we do, he's going to be pleased with it. But the Word of God is the rule book, and it must be followed. And so we've got a rule book to go by, and we go by those rules and follow those rules. In following the rules and doing what we're talking about and abiding by the rules, we must run until the race is over. We can't start and then stop somewhere along the way. In the races like we're talking about, marathons and things of that nature, the person who drops out along the way is disqualified, and he does not receive the crown. Now, one thing that we have, hope that we have and security that we have, is that if we, in running the life's race somewhere along the way, gets distracted and goes to the side and we fall by the wayside, we can be renewed and still run the race and still win the prize. The Bible talks about how if we repent and we confess our faith, or confess our sins, and we pray to God that they might be forgiven, that we can be reinstated and still run that race and still win a prize. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if I make a mistake along the way, if I stumble and fall along the way, if I drop out along the way somewhere because of my lack of attention and all this kind of thing, then I can go back to the Lord and I can repent of that and confess those sins before him and pray to him and be reunited, reinstated, and I can still run the race and win the prize. Now, Christ is the judge of the race. He's the one that will judge us at the end of the race. In John chapter 5 and verse 22, he says, for the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. And so Jesus Christ, the Son, is the one that will judge us. Now another passage in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. It says, on that day when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. So Jesus is the one that will judge this race. Individuals will be judged by the rule book that we're talking about. And, of course, we know that the rule book is the Bible, according to how they have run the race. And so the rules that are there, how we have followed the rules, is the thing that's going to count. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So whatever we've done in our life, however how we have lived this life and run this race, then we'll be judged and we'll receive a prize accordingly. There will be a prize at the end of the race. Now, one thing that we think about, one thing that's in our favor is whenever you run a marathon, there's one person that wins that race. In this race of life, there are many prizes that are given. Many people can win this race. Multiple prizes are given, and I think we can see that. There will be a prize at the end of the race. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all runners run? Yes, we do. everybody runs. But in this race we're talking about, like in a marathon, he says, but only one receives the prize, so that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises, he says, so run that you may obtain it. And then he says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. Is this not what Tim was talking about a while ago? Practice self-control. You eat right. You exercise right. You prepare yourselves for this running. Now, you imagine somebody that hasn't run any at all and then goes out here and runs for 30 miles or something of that nature. One of the preachers from over in Africa was talking about the marathon that they have over there, and they have one over there that's 50 miles that you run. And he was trying to prepare to where he could run in that 50-mile marathon there in Africa. And that would be testing indeed. And a person would have to make themselves fit for that, ready for that, or it might be harmful to the body. So he said, so run that you may obtain, just like it's only one prize. And this, in life's race, we're to run as if there's only one prize that's going to be given. And we try our best to receive that one prize that would be at the end of life. He said they do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one. So the crown that we're after is not one that fades away. He says, so I do not run aimlessly. In other words, I'm not halfway doing this. I'm doing the best I can do. And I don't box like one just beating the air, but I'm doing the best that I can do. I discipline my body, he says, and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So I know there's more than one prize that's there. But I am to run as if there's only one prize and that I'm seeking for that one prize. Now, in closing, the question is this. Have you entered the race yet? If not, why not? And if you haven't entered the race, then why not do that today while there's time and opportunity? The Lord, the judge, is waiting. He's waiting for you to come. As a matter of fact, he said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you haven't qualified to run in this race of life. And one thing about it, we're not going to receive a prize if we have not qualified to run in this race. We're not going to receive a prize if we've not entered the race. We're not going to receive a prize if we don't run in the race, if we don't do the best that we can do. If we don't endure and persevere, then we're not going to win the prize that God has promised unto us. The prize is yours. He offers it to you. It's there for you. It's up to you, up to me, as to whether we will accept it or not. The lesson is yours. If you need to obey the gospel today, why not do so while we stand and as we sing the song that Tim selected.
Live for Jesus, oh my brother, his disciple ever be. Render not to any other what alone the Lord should be. Live for Jesus, live for Jesus. Give him all thou hast to give. On the cross, the world's Redeemer, in his life that thou mightst live. Live for Jesus, wandering sinner, under Satan's herb no more. Of the promised prize, the winner, thou mayst be. Live for Jesus, live for Jesus, give him all thou hast to give. On the cross, the world's Redeemer gave his life that thou mightst live.
Amen. I thank Brother Bobby for an excellent lesson this morning. Of course, it speaks near and dear to my heart with all the thoughts about running and racing, but I think it's something that we all can take advantage of to learn from these lessons, to be able to know that the endurance and the strength that we can have from the Lord to run this race so that we can have that crown of life when this race is over. We're going to take this time in our service this morning to prepare our minds to partake of the Lord's Supper. To help us do that, we're going to be singing the song, Jesus Paid It All. We think about giving all that we have to run the race for Christ. We do that because Jesus gave all for us. And so we're going to sing this song to help focus our thoughts as we get ready to partake of that body that was hung on the cross for us and the blood that was shed for us. We're going to be singing all three verses of this song and then the chorus once at the end.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
To continue in John chapter 17, we read the first three verses last week. I'm going to reread those, and I'm also going to read verses 4 and 5. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Jesus lives us the example that our lives are to be lived for glorifying God. He mentioned that in verse 4, that his mission had been accomplished. I had glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. When we do the works that God has given us to do, then we are also glorifying God in our lives. This table is a physical memorial of all that Jesus did for us. Yet his life was a permanent monument to God's glory. This table is a reminder of the goals of our lives, to behave and to speak so that God is glorified. This is why Jesus sacrificed his life. So that we may live, we are to sacrifice our lives for Christ. This table is a reminder that through the death of Christ, we can have forgiveness of sins if we obey God's word. And likewise, we are to forgive others even when we have been wronged. This is why we speak kindly to those who may speak evil against us. This is why we do not retaliate evil for evil. This is why we do not exert our anger or our will. Bobby read this earlier, and I had this picked out as well, but if you look over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, it says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed." Our lives are to be monuments for God's glory. A life that glorifies God is a life that sacrifices self for the good of others, even if they are our enemies. For this is what Jesus did. And then back in John 17, verse 5, "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." I think it's hard for us to imagine the complete sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Not only the sacrifice that he made on the cross, but also the sacrifice that he made in leaving heaven. Jesus asked to be glorified with the glory he had with the Father before the creation of the world. This reminds us of the glory that was divested when the Son took on the form of a human to come to this earth for us. When we saw Jesus, we did not see all who he truly is. That glory had to be sacrificed for him to come to this earth, to be a human, to live among us, to die for the sins of the world. Jesus truly sacrificed from beginning to end. Sacrificing, giving of yourselves, putting away our pride, rejecting glory for ourselves, and living for the glory of the Father is true life that brings the Father glory. This is a life that God delights in. Jesus gave it all. All to him I owe. You pray with me, please. Our Father in heaven, we're so very, very thankful for the day that you have given to us. Father, we're thankful for all that we have from you, all that you do for us. Father, we're thankful for the love that you had to allow your Son to leave the glories of heaven, to come to earth, to live as a man, to give us an example of how we are to live, to bring glory to you. Father, we're thankful for his willingness to go to the cross, to die for our sins. Father, in all that we do, we hope we bring glory and honor to your name, and we hope we do so this morning as we gather around the table. Father, we ask you to bless this bread, which represents the body that Jesus sacrificed on our behalf, Father. Father, we're thankful for his willingness to go to that cross. We're thankful for the power that you demonstrated in raising him up. Father, we're thankful for the sacrifice and the love that he gave and the love that you had for us, forgiving us of our sins and all that we do and helping us to know that there is much more to this life, and that is an eternal life with you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, thank you again for letting us come together once again to worship you. And as we prepare to take of the cup, please help us to remember the sacrifice that you gave to us and all the blood that you shed, though, that we might be saved at the end of our run. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did we accidentally overlook anyone? Just a moment, we'll have our closing song and our prayer. Glad to see everyone out this morning. And again, just by way of reminder, if you have a contribution, you can make that as you're leaving on your way out, the offering box that's on the right side. Deborah showed me, it's a beautiful fall day we have outside, and I know that pumpkins are coming around, and Deborah showed me something last night while I was watching a football game, so I may butcher this bad, but it's something that it compared us to pumpkins. And basically it was that God would cut a hole in the top, and he goes in and he scoops out all the bad stuff, all that messy stuff, right? And then on the outside, he carves in us the smiling face that he wants us to be. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. I think I got it halfway right anyway. Because we are like the pumpkins, and God can carve into us anything that we want. And if we run life race the way that he wants us to, what a reward that we have waiting for us. Okay, when we take our smiling pumpkin faces back to him. So with that, just thought I'd leave that thought with you, and glad to see everybody this morning.
See, you'll be thinking just fine if somebody says, "Hey, pumpkin face, you look good." No, that's great. Great thoughts here today. And again, so thankful for the words and the thoughts and the songs that we've been able to sing today. And it's truly been a blessing to be able here, to be able to praise the Lord. Before we close this morning, we're going to sing the first verse of the song, Home of the Soul. And you know, sometimes not all the songs are easy picks for these kind of things, but this song actually came to mind because of how the song starts. If for the prize we have striven, after our labors are over, rest to our souls will be given on the eternal shore. We're thinking about that reward at the end of our race. We all need to be striving so that we can get to that prize at the end of that race. So we're going to sing the first verse of this song. And then I'm going to ask if Brother Lloyd maybe will lead us in a word of prayer to close us out. All right. First verse of Home of the Soul. Let's sing.
If for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest to our souls will be given on the eternal shore. Home of the soul, beautiful home. There we shall rest, never to roam, free from all care, happy and bright. Jesus is there, he is the light, oft in the storm. Lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee, beautiful home of the ransomed beside the crystal.